Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the Table of Our Lord. And a special welcome to anyone who might be listening online. I'm Brother Sebastian Pitcher, and I'll be your chairman this morning, and our Brother Gary Penn, who will prepare our minds for the emblems with his words of exhortation. Brother Gary has chosen for this morning a theme of They That Be Wise, which is taken from Daniel chapter 12. So now I invite our brother Gary to prepare our minds for the emblems and encourage us for the week ahead.
Thank you, Brother Sebastian, and good morning, my dear brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our family, of course, brings with us the love and fraternal greetings of your brothers and sisters at the Brighton Ecclesia, who are obviously having a tough time this morning. And so our thoughts and prayers are with them, and as our brother Sebastian prayed, with the family of our brother John. So it's for me it was very comforting that the readings of today, all three of them, provide us great encouragement in the hope which we have as we wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so in 2 Chronicles 32 and in Daniel 12 and in Acts 13, we have a story about those that be wise and those that are not so wise. And so as we wait for the return of our Lord, hopefully we'll be encouraged, as I have been in the preparation from God's word, as I have been in the preparation of what we're going to chat about today. And so we've chosen Daniel 12 because I'd like you to place a mark on Daniel 12 because we'll be going to the other readings, but Daniel 12 will kind of form the backbone of what we're going to have a chat about. And Daniel 12, as is obvious, as we turned the page and saw that it came to an end and Hosea was next, is the last, obviously the last chapter, and in some ways, of the book of Daniel, and in some ways, 2 Chronicles 32 is a closing chapter in one of Hezekiah's life, and Acts chapter 13 is also a closing chapter for a group of people, and we'll see that in a moment. But Daniel 12, of course, when we come to Daniel 12 at verse 1, we're actually coming midway in a remarkable story. A remarkable story that is about a time which is very, very shortly going to come to pass. And so we have in Daniel chapter 11 an incredibly detailed history of the king of the north and the king of the south through millennia, literally, coming right down to our age. And soon to be, where in verse 40, at the time of the end, the king of the south shall push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind. And so this is, in Christadelphia speak, is commonly called a chapter that's about events subsequent to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So by the time that these events happen, we will be with Christ. Part of what we read in Daniel chapter 12 will have been fulfilled. And so in Daniel chapter 11, there's this remarkably detailed account of how that the king of the north comes down through the land and all the way down into Egypt and then back up and takes possession of Jerusalem. But then in verse 45, when he plants the tabernacle of his palaces between the seas in the glorious holy mountain, yet shall he come to his end, and none shall help him. And so how's that? Well, the answer to that is in verse 1. At that time, what time? The time of Daniel chapter 11 at verse 45. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of his people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. At that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. So Michael, who is like El? Michael, who is like El, but Emmanuel, God with us. God who saves. Our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we have come to remember this morning in the bread and wine. And it is a great comfort that Michael, the great prince, stands for the children of his people. the children of thy people, whose people? Thy people, Daniel's people, the children of Israel. And that children there is the Hebrew word ben, so it speaks about a family. And brothers and sisters, we are that family. We are part of that family. And so as opposed to, we in the adult class at Brighton, we're busy going through Eureka, which has been quite illuminating and fascinating. And it's amazing all the different things we discussed. And some of it actually was quite relevant for what I was going to chat with today. There's obviously something on my mind. And when we just have a look at how Gog goes and comes down, and how the king of the north, and how that right through history, whenever the children of God are withstood against by a power on the earth, it is always that power saying, this is what I will do. I will do this. I will do that. I will think an evil thought, as it has in Ezekiel chapter 38. Whereas, what does our king think? It's not about himself. It's about standing for his people. It's about service. And that service is represented before us wonderfully in the bread and the wine. And so we have salvation. We have salvation. And of all people in these last days, brothers and sisters, and it's wonderful that more have come in this place to a knowledge of the truth and have taken on the waters of baptism. And how is it that in these last days, we in the far-flung isles of the earth have this great privilege? Well, that story actually starts in our New Testament reading in Acts chapter 13. So if you go to Acts chapter 13, and to keep a marker in Daniel chapter 12. So Acts chapter 13 is the commencement of the first missionary journey. And so, as it has, if you've got the Oxford Bible, Paul and Barnabas are sent to the Gentiles. And so, in verse 2, Barnabas, it says there, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And so, in some ways, the heading is slightly wrong, because the first activity that they go and do is actually go to a synagogue. And so, in terms of what they preach, well, firstly, they have this matter with Simon and Bar-Jesus. But when we go to verse 13, when Paul, so he's no longer Saul, his name has been changed to Paul, he's changed his name to Paul. Now, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John departing from them returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And so they, after the reading, when the invitation is given, do you have anything to say? Paul stands up. And there's a remarkable speech that he gives from verse 17 to verse 41. And we just want to pick the theme out of it. And in terms of how we are here today as spiritual Israel, it starts with natural Israel, as with Daniel, his people. And so it starts in verse 17, the God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an high arm brought he them out. And so he saved them from Egypt. And brothers and sisters, he has saved us from Egypt in calling us out of a world of darkness. And so he goes on how that for a period of 40 years they wandered and they suffered. And when they destroyed many nations in verse 19, they came into the land which was divided by a lot. And there was a period of judges in verse 20, about 450 years until Samuel. And they desired a king. So God gave them Saul in verse 21 for another period of 40 years. And we know how that worked out. And so in verse 22, when God removed Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. So as our brother read for us from Daniel 12, in verse 3 it says, then they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars in the heavens forever and ever. And so, as our brother Seb mentioned, the theme is about being wise, they that be wise. And here we have an example of what it means to be wise. And we want to try and work out what we need to do so that we too can be wise. And so this is a divine commentary on David. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart. A man after mine own heart. So we want to be wise, brothers and sisters. We need to know what's in God's heart, what's in his character. And knowing that, it's not just about knowledge. It's not just about an academic understanding. Knowing that, which shall fulfill all my will. We need to do something with that and behave in that way. And so it's remarkable how sometimes all things fit together. So if you go to Philippians, just keep it. No, you've got to keep another finger. We'll hopefully some marking. You just keep a hand in Acts chapter 13 because we'll go back there in a moment. But in Philippians, with the commandment of Christ that Brother Josh gave us this morning, in Philippians 4 at verse 8, well, let's go in at verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Philippians 4 and at verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We're going to find prayer to be a feature of being wise as well. And no matter what, brothers and sisters, no matter what our circumstances are, no matter what the trials which God brings on us for the purification of our lives, for the preparation of the return of Christ, as it said in Daniel chapter 12, many shall be purified and tried. No matter what it is, take it to God. Take it to God. And leave it with God. Because sometimes, if you're anything like me, I have the habit of praying to God and saying, God, hear all my problems, and then the prayer finishes and I take them all back again. We need to leave them with God. And if we do, the peace of God, in verse 7, which passes all understanding, shall keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. And so finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, you want to be wise? Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. One of the other challenges which I find, and maybe you would as well, is this incredible ability I have to dwell on negative things and to think about negative things. That's not being wise. Did you see anything negative there? As I say, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are about problems, whatsoever things are about ecclesial discord, whatsoever things are about challenges in life, think on those things. Doesn't say that, does it? In the context of having the peace of God, which passes all understanding, it's about having a positive mindset and looking for things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, any virtue, any praise. Think on the positives. And this is what, back in Acts chapter 13, Paul was presenting those people with, a really, really positive message. A message of hope and salvation. Believe this, and you can be saved. And so he goes from David in verse 22, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. And speaks about David's greater son, of this man's seed in verse 23, God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. And that Savior is being raised for us too, brothers and sisters. and we have tasted and we see that the salvation is there and it's wonderful. And John preached about him. And so when he says in verse 26, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham. So Jews, children of the stock of Abraham. And whosoever among you fears God. To you is the word of this salvation sent. That there is salvation in Jesus. That there is salvation in Jesus. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and the rulers, because they knew him not, in verse 27, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, they fulfilled them in condemning him. So even though that the word of salvation was sent, those who should have known better crucify Jesus and found no cause of death in him, but all that was fulfilled, which was written of him in verse 29, and they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God has raised him from the dead. And brothers and sisters, as another of our members has fallen asleep in Christ, there's the hope that we have, even though death still stings. There's the hope that we have that God has raised Jesus from the dead as the first fruits of them that slept. And there was witnesses of all these things. And so in verse 34, and it's concerning that he raised him from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said in this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. So those promises will be fulfilled. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. And so he says in verse 38, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe, and we know all that believe and are baptized, are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. And so there's a wonderful message of salvation and of consolation as we come this morning to remember our Lord in the way appointed and to partake of the bread and the wine. Because we have been justified, we have been brought nigh. And so if we keep our hand in Acts chapter 14 and we just go across to Romans 7. So as we come and we are beset by the things which we have done that we know we shouldn't have done, and we come with our minds burdened, when we come seeking forgiveness, we can have confidence, brothers and sisters. Because in Romans chapter 7, Paul recognizes in verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil that I would not, that I do. Sounds awfully familiar to me. And so he says, O wretched man, in verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? I thank God through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so it's through Christ that we can be delivered from the corruption that is in our members. And being baptized, brothers and sisters, and trying, even though we fail, but being baptized, we who were once in sin are now in Christ. We who once were constituted sinners are now constituted saints. We who once were imperfect are now perfect through Christ. Imagine that, brothers and sisters. That's how God sees us. He sees us as saints right now. So truly, Paul thanks God through Jesus Christ. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who walk, which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation, brothers and sisters. Imagine that. No condemnation. provided we are wise and we walk after the Spirit. But if we do, no condemnation. No condemnation. So back in Acts chapter 13, that's the word of salvation which Paul is preaching to the Jews and those that fear God. To the Jews and those that fear God. And so he has a warning. He says in verse 40, Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work in which ye shall in no wise, in which you shall in no wise, we understand what that means, it's not going to happen. But isn't that quite ironic? Those who are not wise, because they are not wise, they will not believe. Because they're not wise, they will not believe. Though a man declare it unto you, and there was Paul declaring it to us, and we, to them and to us. Though a man declare it unto you. And so the Jews go out of the synagogue. It's almost as if they exit en masse and can't wait to get out. And the Gentiles are there. And so the next Sabbath, the whole city comes. And what is the reaction? In verse 45, the Jews saw the multitudes. They filled with envy. And they start hammering Paul and Barnabas. Not because of what they were saying, which was right, but because of envy, because of jealousy. And so they were not being wise. And so Paul and Barnabas, in verse 46, wax bold and say, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And we in the ends of the earth today are the recipients of that salvation. Isn't that amazing? That we, afar off, have the gospel preached to us and have taken to heart the words of salvation. So back in Daniel chapter 12, the hope of deliverance that we have is because we have obeyed the gospel and listened to the message. And we are endeavoring to walk after the Spirit. And so that's why Michael stands for us. And that's why at the time of the end, in Daniel chapter 12, at verse 1, near the end of the verse, at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And then there's the process of resurrection and judgment. And brothers and sisters, what we know is that there are things which we don't understand today that we will understand then. What we truly know is that the judge that we have is righteous but full of grace, because Scripture tells us that the wages of sin is death, and we all sin. So if there was a judge who would judge after the letter of the Scripture, we would all be condemned. But you see, there is now therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ, who walk after the Spirit. And so the judgment will be a wonder in where, by God's grace, we are shown that grace. And they that be wise, in verse 3, shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And so, how do we stay wise? How do we turn many to righteousness? Well, that wise there, in the margin, it says that it's teachers. And so there's a very real, as we had with Paul and with Barnabas, there's a very real focus that having received of the wonderful hope which we have, that we should tell others, and that we should teach and tell others about the joy that is within us. And so let's think of those positive things so that we can show that joy. But as we said, there are things that we don't understand that go on in our lives. So how do we cope when things mount up against us? And when it seems impossible, when there doesn't seem to be any solution? Well, in some respects, we've spoken about it briefly, but let's go to our first reading in 2 Chronicles in chapter 32. So 2 Chronicles in chapter 32 is another remarkable chapter in Scripture. And it's another last chapter because it's in the Chronicles record, the last chapter of Hezekiah's life. It starts in chapter 29, the record starts in chapter 29 and goes through to chapter 32. And it goes through to chapter 32, as we say. And in this chapter actually deals with more than half of Hezekiah's reign in this one chapter. And it deals with something that was truly an ecclesial problem, but a personal problem for Hezekiah, who, by the way, at the same time was dealing with leprosy and dealing with not having an heir to the throne and the possibility of the line of David being extinguished. So he had a lot on his mind. And then after these things in verse 1, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. And so there's a whole exercise that Hezekiah does. And just as an aside, which is never a good thing to do when you're running against the clock, but Sister Naomi and Sister Rachel and I had the real privilege of being in Israel in September and walking on Tel Lachish, which is mentioned in this chapter, and seeing the palace that Hezekiah built, and walking through Hezekiah's tunnel, which is referred to in this chapter. And brothers and sisters, the things that are referred to here are real. It's there. You can see it, you can walk it, you can feel it. This has happened. And Hezekiah was in this great distress. And so what does he say? He speaks in verse 6. He speaks in verse 6 towards the end of the, as in the gate of the city, and he speaks comfortably to them. He gives them words of comfort. And he says, be strong and courageous, in verse 7, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God, Yahweh our God, to help us and to fight our battles. And with us, brothers and sisters, no matter what our battles are, we have the Lord our God with us to help and to fight. Even when that is challenged and our beliefs and the fact that we believe is challenged and ridiculed and mocked as it was with Hezekiah. Because Sennacherib in verse 10 says, whereon do ye trust that ye abide in the siege of Jerusalem? Does not Hezekiah persuade you to give over yourselves to die by famine and by thirst, saying, the Lord our God shall deliver us out of the hand of the king of Assyria? You want to believe in God? Is that going to work for you? How's it working out so far? Has not the same Hezekiah taken away his high places and his altars and commanded Judah and Jerusalem, saying, you'll only worship here? Know ye not what I and my fathers, haven't you seen what's happened? That I and my fathers have gone through all other lands. Where's those gods? Where's the things that they trusted in? How's your God going to deliver you? And he says this. He says this in verse 18. They cried with a loud voice in the Jews' speech unto the people of Jerusalem that were on the wall. And brothers and sisters, when you have a look at the palace of David and where they would have been, it's not that far away. They wouldn't even have had to cry. But cry they did, and the message would have reverberated across the wall of Jerusalem, and everybody would have heard it in their own tongue. And in verse 19, they spake against the God of Jerusalem, as against the gods of the people of the earth, which are the work of man's hand. So what do you do, brothers and sisters? What do we do when our core foundation, when circumstances doesn't necessarily mean people, well, it can sometimes mean people challenging our core foundation in the truth, or circumstances in life challenge our core foundation in our belief and our faith. What do we do? What does Hezekiah do? He takes it to God. He prays to God. And for this cause, in verse 20, Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos prayed and cried to heaven. So keep your hand in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and come across with me to Isaiah chapter 37. Isaiah chapter 37, where the prayer is written for us in verse 15. So in the prophet Isaiah and chapter 37, Hezekiah prays in verse 15 unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, Yahweh surveyeth, he who will be armies, the mighty ones of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, not all the gods of the nation. You are God, and you are God alone. Thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. You've made heaven and earth. Incline thine ear, O Yahweh, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Yahweh, and see. And hear all the words of Sennacherib, which he hath sent to reproach the living God. Were God's ears open? Of course they were. Were God's eyes open? Of course they were. Did God hear? Of course he did. Did he see? Of course he did. But he accepted Hezekiah's prayer. And sometimes, when we have challenges, we can ask God to look and see and to hear what's going on. And to ask him to do so. Of a truth, because he is the living God. He lives and he is mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, to the destruction of armies, to our help in our lives. Of a truth, Yahweh, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries. They have done that. They have cast their gods into the fire. But Hezekiah recognizes they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, for O Yahweh, our God, save us from his hand. Why? Why save us? That all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art Yahweh, even thou only. And so we can, brothers and sisters, and we need to pray and ask earnestly that God's will can be done in our lives so that we might glorify him and that people might know that there is a God in heaven. And look at the peace of God, which really passed all understanding as it rested on Hezekiah. Yahweh sent an angel in verse 21 of 2 Chronicles in chapter 32. Yahweh sent an angel which cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders and the captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. 185,000 dead in a night. Because Hezekiah was wise. Because he put his trust and his faith in God. And so we come back to Daniel in chapter 12. As we come to remember our Lord in the way appointed. They that be wise, in Daniel chapter 12 at verse 3, shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And in the version that Brother Matt was reading from, it says, as the brightness of the sky, I think it said. You know, when you go outside and there's not a cloud in the air and there's just this brilliant blue, this magnificent and glorious blue, that extends into the heavens. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And if you've been out into the outback, and sometimes in the middle of nowhere, and you virtually can't sleep because the stars are so bright and cast that wonderful glow. And it's going to be as the stars forever and ever. And why, brothers and sisters, as the stars forever and ever? because we are the family of God. We are those who believe in the promises to Abraham. He was promised that your seed will be like the sand of the seashores and like the stars of heaven. Actually, he's not promised that. He's promised the other way around. Your seed is going to be like the stars of the heaven and like the sand on the seashore. So the sand of the seashore, natural Israel, but the stars of heaven, spiritual Israel. And brothers and sisters, that's you and I. And we have the privilege of being able to shine like stars in the heavens forever and ever. And so, as you mentioned earlier on in Daniel chapter 12 and at verse 10, as we wait the time of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we go through that many shall be purified and made white and tried, and so we acknowledge that it is a walk towards the kingdom where circumstances come upon our lives that sometimes we battle and grapple with. But through faith in Christ and through faith in God, even though the wicked shall do wickedly and they won't understand, those that be wise shall understand. And so Daniel earnest as he is to understand more and more and more about what's going to happen, which has been revealed to us. He is told in verse 13, go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of days. So, brothers and sisters, as you come around the emblems of the wisest man, who throughout his entire life rested on God and trusted in God, throughout his entire life thought about the good things of God and displayed them to those around him, not just thinking, not just knowledge, but also an application. As you come around the emblems before us, the bread, that body which for 33 and a half years displayed God's characteristics and his character and knew God. And the wine, the symbol of his blood shed that we might have life, the symbol of the blood by which we have been purchased to God. Let us take comfort and encouragement that God is watching over us, that God is caring for us, that we are part of his family, and that by God's grace, very shortly, as we go our way, till the end be, we with Daniel and Hezekiah and Paul and all those faithful will stand in our lot at the end of days. Thank you.